This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is getting unbelievable so quickly. I mean, it's now on us. He's four away from the record, three away from tying. The guy is just prolific this year. We've got to get somebody on, Denton, to explain why this guy is having this season, this type of season. He's got 38 goals. He's tied for fourth in the NHL, and he's played, you know, 10 less games, actually up to 15 less games than the guys in front of him on the season. 38 goals in 58 games. Obscene. Five goals now in his last eight games. He's on a tear. Like, he could do it tonight. I mean, he could certainly tie it tonight with a hat trick. You know what the odds are on that? There's a ton of betting opportunities now on Ovechkin. Take a shot, Denton, on what the odds are for him to score three or more goals tonight at Carolina.
So I'm going to guess, I'm not entirely familiar with how they get with some of these lines, but I'm going to guess it's going to be like plus 500.
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. 46-1.
Oh, Lord.
A little bit off. Just a little bit. It's a long, long shot. I mean, it is truly a much longer shot than what you described. I think that, you know, three goals. He had a hat trick this year, didn't he? Didn't he have a hat trick, or am I thinking of another player?
Two hat tricks. He had one.
He's had two hat tricks this year.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, because he had one a couple of weeks ago. Was that game against that was on national TV against Edmonton?
Let me double check. I do think it was a national.
It was against Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. No, it was against Edmonton. It was against Edmonton. That was coming off the in season four national team tournament, whatever it was called, the Four Nations tournament. Was that what the name of it was?
I think it was. It was when there was no Capitals players, then they blitzed Pittsburgh the one night and then scored like eight against Edmonton the next night.
Yeah. Wow. This guy is having a season, and now we are legitimately, you know, a game or a couple of games away based on his pace. The Caps beat the Bruins last night. That's the other part of the story, although it is, you know, down the list in terms of the stories. They are still, whether you want this or not, they are still very much alive. They are 1 point behind Winnipeg for the President's Trophy, and they've played one less game than Winnipeg. I know a lot of Caps fans say, please, don't win the President's Trophy. It is a curse. You can't win the cup if you win the President's Trophy. They are having a season. They will be the one seed in the East. I would assume at this point they've clinched that. I don't know that for sure, but they're 11 points better with eight games left. I guess there's still a chance they could get caught, but they've healthy, clinched a playoff spot. And more likely than not, they'll be the one seed. In the way the NHL playoffs are structured, here are the potential right now, or the likely opponents for the Capitals in the first round. Montreal right now would be the favorite to be the Caps' first round opponent. If the season ended today, they would play Montreal, who would be the second of the two wild card teams, and the, you know, the de facto eight seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But just behind Montreal are Columbus and the Rangers. So those are the three teams that right now are the most likely opponents for the Caps in the first round: Montreal, Columbus, and the Rangers. We can, you know, at some point as we approach the postseason, find out from a Joe B or somebody like that who would make the best matchup in a best of seven first round for the Caps. Remember, they have not won a playoff series, not one playoff series since they won the Cup. And so they'll be looking to win a series for the first time. And those playoffs do get underway in about a week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, right? I think it's 2 weeks from actually today the playoffs begin. Let me just look that up to make sure. No, not 2 weeks from today. About 2.5 weeks from today. Their last regular season game is Thursday, April 17th. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. And then I would imagine the postseason would start that Saturday and Sunday, Denton. You know, 2 days after the regular season ends, they'll have major playoff games on that Saturday and Sunday, you know, game ones. I'm guessing that that's when they're not going to wait till the following week to start. Ovechkin rolling. Caps get a win last night against Boston. After, look, they had lost three games in a row, losing to Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Buffalo on Sunday. Ovechkin three away from tying it, four away from breaking the record. They've got eight regular season games left. Lots to get to on the show. Maryland has their new coach. He is Buzz Williams. I'll give you my thoughts on Buzz Williams coming up in just a few minutes. Gary Williams will be on the show with us at 10:35. And then we've got somebody from Texas A&M. Mark Passwater covers Texas A&M sports, football and basketball, for Rivals. He'll join us later on in the show at 12:35. Buzz Williams, Terps fans, is holding his introductory press conference, or Maryland is for him, at noon. We'll carry some of that at noon. So you'll hear how he is introduced and sort of what he says and maybe a couple of questions. We won't carry the entire thing, but we'll carry some of it at noon. I do want to start the show with a what do you got. So we're about 7 weeks away, 6 to 7 weeks away from the NFL schedule coming out. And I will do, per usual, a mock schedule sometime in early May, about a week before the actual schedule comes out. But you're going to start getting rumors on the schedule. You already are. My guy, NFL Nerd, on Twitter, retweeted some reports from Chiefs and Chargers reporters suggesting that the NFL has indicated that Kansas City will be the Chargers' opponent on that first Friday night week one game in Brazil. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Washington was a possible opponent for the Chargers in the Brazil game. But it looks like, and there are going to be a lot of rumors that we're going to, of course, just chase down, even though many of them won't actually come to fruition in terms of being legitimate. But this guy, NFL Nerd, usually is on top of it. And if he retweets it, I'm going to talk about it because I know that Washington fans, Skins fans, are interested to find out the big spots on the schedule next year. You know, a triple header on Christmas Day, a triple header on Thanksgiving Day. I would say that that is minus money at this point that they're playing on one of those 2 days. And then secondly, are they going to play in the one of the two potential international games, Brazil or Madrid? The Dolphins host the Madrid game, and the Chargers are hosting the Brazil game, Well, it would appear as if the Chiefs are the target for the Brazil game. Last year, it was Eagles-Packers on Friday night. This year, the Eagles will obviously open up the season on Thursday night. Washington is a potential opponent for the Eagles in the opener. But, you know, the one of the two international games appears to be going to the Chiefs. And I always felt like if they play in one of the two international games, it would be the Madrid game. That game, I think, is scheduled for early November, Denton. That would be against the Dolphins, and they do have a scheduled road game against the Dolphins. So maybe we just found out the first game on the on knowing what the schedule will look like when it comes out. Of course, this is always subject to change because this is just more of rumor mongering, which we love. We love speculation. We love reckless speculation on this show. If you had your preference right now, Madrid or Brazil, which of the two?
Like I'm getting to go to?
No, just for the team. Which game would you prefer they play in?
I got to live vicariously through them. Okay. I'd go Madrid. I think the Madrid game against Miami would be a good one.
Here's why I would prefer the Madrid game if they were to get one of the two. Because the Chargers game, I want to play in L.A. against the Chargers. That's going to be a neutral field environment anyway. So of the two teams that you're playing, scheduled to play on the road, if you're going to play either one of those two teams on their home field, it's the Chargers, not the Dolphins. The Chargers game in L.A., may be a home game for Washington, depending on when they play it. And I mean, there will be a ton of Skins fans in LA for the Chargers game. A ton. So you play the Chargers game on the road, play the Dolphins in Madrid. Not that the Dolphins have like this overwhelming home field advantage, but they can get really good home field advantage situations when they're good. So not to mention, personally, you know, Madrid would be phenomenal. I think I said this when it became a possibility. That's one where I absolutely would want to go. I'd want to go to Brazil. I've never been to Brazil. I've been to Madrid. I've never been to Brazil, but Madrid's phenomenal, and that would be an incredible week to be out there leading into a game against the Dolphins. The other five international games are in Berlin, Dublin, and three in London. Washington doesn't play any of those teams on their schedule as road games. The hosts for those games are the Colts, Steelers, Jags, Browns, and Jets. So anyway. All right. Get to Buzz Williams in a moment, but I just had to mention last night, I actually watched a lot of this game, and then I did fall asleep. And watch the highlights this morning. But for those of you who, you know, don't follow the NBA and don't care about the NBA, and I know a lot of you don't, still, what happened last night, you know, overall in the NBA was one of the great regular season nights in the history of the NBA. Steph Curry went for 52 in a road win against Memphis. The Milwaukee Bucks last night shot the highest field goal percentage since 1998 in an NBA game. They shot 68.9% from the floor. They were 51 of 74. 27 years ago, the Clippers shot 69.3%. So it was the best shooting night of this century in the NBA. And then late last night in Denver, Nikola Jokic had one of the great games in the history of the NBA. He scored 61 points in the game in a 140-139 double overtime loss that ended horrifically for Russell Westbrook. But in the game, Nikola Jokic scored 61 points, grabbed 10 assists, and had 10 rebounds. It was the greatest triple-double point total number in NBA history. 61, 10, and 10. He was 18 of 29 from the floor 18 of 29. He was 6 of 11 from behind the arc. He made free throws to force the first overtime, made a shot to force the second overtime, and then got to the end of the second. At the end of the second overtime, they had a 1-point lead with a breakaway 2-on-1 with 12 seconds to go. Russell Westbrook made the choice to take a layup for a 3-point lead instead of pulling the ball out and burning clock and then getting fouled and going to the line with less time, and he missed the layup, a wide-open layup. Minnesota came down, and at the very end of the game, as Westbrook, distraught after missing the layup, he got into the play late and fouled at Nickeil Alexander-Walker with 0.1 left, shooting a three. One of the worst sequences you will ever see at the end of a game, Russell Westbrook. And by the way, he's had a good season. But Jokic's 61 were the most by a player in the NBA this season. The triple-double, it's the third 60-point triple-double in NBA history. The other two were surprising to me, because I would have thought Wilt would have been on this list somewhere, but it was Doncic and Harden have the other two 60-point triple-doubles, and they scored 60 in each of those games. So his 61 is the largest triple-double point-wise in NBA history, scoring 61 in the game. I know that we live in the world of sort of hyperbole and, you know, immediate reaction and, you know, recency bias, all of that. But if you're not an NBA fan, but you are a basketball fan, you're not paying attention to the career that Nikola Jokic is putting together, he is right now, at 30 years old, debatably the greatest big man in the history of the game. And I know that that would be, you know, met with laughter from most people, say, over the age of 50 years old. You know, Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Russell, the list goes on. For me, Olajuwon should absolutely be in that conversation. But in terms of the versatility of the player, the ability, by the way, in a game that's far different than the game that those players played in, understood, but because of his ability to shoot threes, his incredible passing ability, he is a great passer. It's not crazy to say, even only at 30 years old, where he's got several years left in the NBA, he's in the conversation of the greatest center, the greatest big man in the history of the game. And to watch him is a joy. He is one of the highest IQ players I've ever seen. His passing at times is just as breathtaking as any other part of his game. He controls the game from that position like a point guard does, a great point guard does. He's incredible. The NBA playoffs, which we are just a couple of weeks away from, are going to be incredible, especially when it comes to the Western Conference. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on Buzz Williams being hired at Maryland. Gary Williams will join us at 10:35. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.